Hey everyone, this is Scott from DVC-Rental.com. As you know, we're your go-to place for all Disney travel, and if you've ever thought of taking a beach holiday, make sure you also look into us as we have Disney's Vero Beach, which is on the Atlantic down in Florida, or we also have Disney's Hilton Head Resort in South Carolina. Again, that's DVC-Rental.com.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Dub-D-Dub Review Podcast. My name is Stacey Nyman, and I am joined tonight by my co-host, Chris Malik. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, Stacey.
Good. Excellent. And then we, Pete is off doing something. You know, we never quite know what he's up to.
He's at the park. Come on. He's at the park,
like,
for sure.
He's probably, you know, like, I don't know, gallivanting around Walt Disney World or something. So we have a special guest tonight with us. And so we brought on a really cool guy named Chris Young. How are you doing, Chris?
I am tremendous, mostly because I'm getting to talk about Disney tonight and take my mind off that Chiefs loss.
Yes, that's. I'm super sorry about that. By the way, I have no idea anything about the football.
Okay,
game,
well, let us fill you in then, Stacey. We're going to take over this ship here for once.
Again?
We're going to take it over. So the Chiefs,
one drive at a time. We'll talk about it,
right? Yeah, we're going to play by play, and then analyze that play.
So, I'm so sorry, everybody.
It was Championship Sunday yesterday. The Patriots and Chiefs had played an awesome game. And just when it looked like the Chiefs, they were in position, they kicked a field goal, forced overtime, and then what happened, Chris?
We snatched defeat from the hands of victory.
That's exactly what happened.
Exactly.
The table turned so fast, but it was a great game. If you're a football fan, undoubtedly you enjoyed that game yesterday, unless you lived in greater Kansas City area like Chris does. Sorry, buddy. All right,
so are we done with the football talk?
We are done with the football talk.
So,
promise.
To open the show, I thought that we would do a little ranking exercise.
Uh-oh.
Here. So I want you guys to rank your favorite resort. So we're going to do, actually, it's not really ranking. It's more picking your favorite of each category of resort. So I'm going to have you pick your favorite value, your favorite moderate, your favorite deluxe, and your favorite DVC level resorts, and we'll kind of see how we all compare here. And this is really confusing because there's two Chris's. So how about we go with the guest first? So Chris Young, why don't you start?
Oh, well, let's see. I can't give you honest rankings on the value resort, and I can't really give you an honest ranking on the non-DVC resorts other than the moderates. So I've stayed in moderates and DVC anytime I've been on property over the last 20-30 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, well, go with those.
So, all right. So, moderate, I really love Port Orleans Riverside. I would say that I love it so much that I can be there and compare that in terms of my enjoyment to a studio DVC, many places, right?
Yeah.
I particularly like to go down and listen to Yeehaw Bob in the evenings.
Oh, yes.
Just the stroll outside, if you're at Alligator Bayou and you just walk outside of your room and that southern feel, it's just awesome. So I really enjoy that. My wife is on a scooter. So our first experience there, we didn't realize you could plug the scooter in outside.
Oh,
so we were
uh-huh.
bringing that into the room. And I have to tell you, she's not on a scooter all the time, but she's got a bum knee. And if she spent 4 hours walking the parks, it would ruin the rest of her trip.
Uh-huh.
So she's one of those people that maybe people see and say, well, that person doesn't need a scooter. But she couldn't enjoy the trip without it.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
But yeah, that was really tight when we had the...
I can imagine.
The the scooter in the room with us. So, you know, a trip up in the middle of the night and you have to like step over the scooter to get where you're going. So, anyway, but love that. Now, restaurant wise, we've not really even eaten there. And I guess we should try that sometime. But we've just heard kind of like mixed reviews on it. Right. So, mm-hmm. But the counter service food court is great. My youngest daughter, it's her favorite. I mean, I think she'd go over and eat counter service there specifically because she likes that. So mm-hmm. it's a nice place, and you know, it's always nice to be able to get out and take a stroll down the when you hop into a boat and head anywhere, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's great.
Cool. What about the DVC resorts, Chris?
We were just talking about this, and we've been to most of them now that are on Disney World property. And I would say that for what we do while we're at the parks, it would be maybe for location, it would be Boardwalk.
Okay.
For like the amenities and just the beautiful resort, it would be the Grand Floridian.
Okay.
Yeah, so we love being able to have that easy access in and out of World Showcase, and kind of like the vibrancy, I guess, of what's going on around the boardwalk.
Yeah.
And then we're not fancy people, but the Grand Floridian and the kind of the over-the-top, the luxury of it is it's really cool. It's really cool to walk in and get ready in the morning and look into your mirror and you've got a TV there with you. I always said that, you know, my idea of vacation is not a tent. Okay, my idea of a vacation is that there's a TV even in the bathroom.
So, yeah, there you go.
Very good.
So that fits very well.
Okay.
Hey, all right, how about the other Chris?
So you know what? I think that Chris and this Chris are very similar. I can give you a big review for the values as well. We've visited Art of Animation. I've never visited All Stars because, you know, we were largely DVC members when we started really staying on property. Art of Animation was really nice, but I really don't want to give you a review on the others because I haven't stayed, so we're going to bypass the values. And Moderates, we visited them all, but again, we've stayed as DVC members. And I agree, Riverside is amazing. I don't know what the feel is down the Sasagula at nighttime. I can't quite put it into words, but there's something special about that. But I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go with Coronado Springs, only because, and this is pre-construction, that captured, it was so quiet, and it felt so like removed from everything. And as you walked around the lake, it was such a nice feeling. Now, I'm wondering how the construction is going to impact that, and I mm-hmm. haven't been there since then. We will go in about 20 days to go and visit it. But, nice. I'm going to go with Coronado. And then as far as deluxes, again, DVC stay here for amenities, and not necessarily for location, but my favorite is going to be the Animal Kingdom Lodge. I wouldn't be picky if it was Jumbo or Kidani. Now, it's isolated, but as far as the one that I'm going to rank, even above, you know, the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian, I just think that I don't know if any other resort quite captures that feel of what their intention was, like that resort mm-hmm. does. So if it's the smells and the sounds and the food and everything, it does it. How about you, Stace?
All right. So I'm going with just pure feeling. So we've stayed at All Star Movies and Pop Century, and I'm going to go with Pop out of the two of those. Visited Art of Animation, but we didn't spend much time there. So just kind of, you know, out of necessity, Pop would be favorite in the values. For Moderates, I'm very much like you, Chris. Riverside has my heart. It has so much nostalgia for us. It's where we stayed a lot when we first started going down to Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. But Coronado is my favorite, I think. The last time we stayed there last summer, it just really was amazing. I think we had a really good room location, and That was really good. For the deluxes, I'm going to go with the Polynesian because it's just a really cool place to be. We've only spent one night there. We splurged a few years ago and got a room there one night, and it was really, really fun. And then for the DVC, I am going to go with Bay Lake Tower. We were able to stay there a couple years ago for, I think, two or three nights. And while we really love all of the DVC resorts we've stayed at, for some reason, when we stayed at Bay Lake Tower, it felt like home. So, and you know, by all means, our home is not Contemporary, but it just, like, when we got there, it just felt right. Like, everything about it just felt really comfortable and right. So that's where we would actually love to own someday. But yeah, so those are my favorites.
So, and I'll say, I was thinking about asking for a redo as I was listening to Chris, and I thought, you know, as far as the Grand Floridian, I mentioned that Bay Lake Tower is sitting right there with it. Wow. Different reasons, right? But
yeah, exactly. It's hard to pick. That was
question. The people that say that Bay Lake Tower maybe doesn't have the same theming, I'm like, open your window and look out at the Magic Kingdom.
That's true.
That's all the theming you need.
True.
Yes, we had a lake view, and it was just glorious. I mean, just looking out there, it was breathtaking. It was amazing. Yeah. So tonight or today, we're going to be talking to Chris about a really awesome trip that he has taken very recently. And we're just going to kind of let him go with it, let him share some details and some highlights from the trip. And we'll kind of interrupt him a few times with some questions and stuff. But I think it'll be really, really cool to kind of hear how this trip came about and everything like that. So, Chris, if you want to start just kind of giving us some background information and, you know, who went, when did you go, and all that kind of good background stuff.
Sure. Well, first of all, we're sitting in central Missouri, so Disney World vacations are not just one of those whim kind of things for us.
Right.
And we're not maybe among those, whatever, 2%ers, 1%ers. We want to maximize the money that we spend when we're doing vacations, and we have to save up for them. And we put all of our most all of our vacation dollars into Disney World trips and some of our other entertainment dollars. It's my wife, Anne, and I, and then our two daughters, Caroline, who's 20, and Bridget, who's 17. And so that's our family. And one of the ways that we try to optimize our spend investment in this vacation club world is that we try to take multiple trips in one year, and then we'll skip a year.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of doing every year, because by doing this kind of like consolidation, we're able to save money with annual passes, with using things like Tables in Wonderland and those kind of things. So 2018 was a Disney World vacation year. And my wife and I went in January, and then the kids were upset with us for having left them. And so then we all went back in June, and that was kind of an all-family, this sounds weird, but like a last fling kind of thing, because then our youngest daughter, Bridget, was heading out in August to be an exchange student with Rotary Youth Exchange Program. And so in August, she left for a year. So here's a 16-year-old, and we're putting her off on a plane for her first international trip ever. And she's by herself, and she's not coming back for 11 months.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's going to a country where she's only learning the language through Babbel online.
Wow. Yes.
So I couldn't be prouder of her. She's got guts that, you know, most people I know don't.
Heck yeah. Where was she going, Chris? What was the country?
It's to Denmark. She went to Aarhus, Denmark, which is like the second largest city in Denmark.
Okay.
And she's at her second of three host families. It's an 11-month exchange. And so she's already, you know, been to multiple countries. And then she'll end her year with, I think, like a 20-day trip with other youth exchange students where they'll maybe go to, I don't know, 13 countries.
Oh, wow. My gosh. Europe.
And awesome. It's going to be like it is the year of a lifetime. In fact, they call it a lifetime in a year.
Wow, and, yes.
Stacy, make a note. We want to talk to Bridget when she gets back. We need a full year trip report, right? We need to hear this. I'm sorry, Chris. All right. So
exactly. So, you know, as we were heading into that, we were recognizing and we were starting to look forward. Ann and I were look forward, and that's not a good term to describe it, but we were starting to imagine what Christmas was going to be like without Bridget in our house. And we were starting to dread that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So we thought, well, what can we do? What can we do to shift this up a little bit? And I said, always thinking about a way to sneak in a DVC trip, I said, well, you know, maybe we could go down, maybe not during Christmas week, but right before Christmas. And after Caroline gets back from her college, we can head down and distract ourselves. So this was really a distraction trip.
Okay.
And we actually fit in another trip between then and there, between June and December with
this with four trips, Chris?
This was, we spent 28 days
in
Disney parks, and it'll never happen again, and I can't imagine that it'll ever happen again for us, and I'm so glad it did. And
yes, it's amazing.
Stacy, you spent 1/12 of the year in Walt Disney World. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Okay.
Listen, everybody I know, my boss, my boss's boss, they say, there's something a little wrong with you all.
Right? It's understood.
No, there's nothing
move along. There's nothing to see here. We're all
right. Hey, you know what? I own it. I'll own it. You know?
Yes.
So we scheduled it for December the 16th through the 22nd, so a Sunday through a Saturday. And one of those other things we do just to try to make the most of our trips is we leave at the crack of dawn on the day that we fly down to Orlando, and then we come back after the sun sets on the day that we go back. And that way we're really able to capture a good part of each day, each travel day still in the park. So we really felt like we had 6.5 days, I'd say, in the parks out of that trip. And when I was when we were younger and weren't thinking about it so well, I think we'd lose both of those days. You know, in a 7-day trip, you'd have 5 days in the park.
Mm-hmm.
So, so anyway, we went to Bay Lake Tower. We stayed at Bay Lake Tower for the trip, and. As you know, different views, different amounts of points. So we really wanted to get that theme park view, but I was too chintzy to put that many points towards a theme park view for a week. So we took the first two nights with a theme park view.
Oh, good. Good strategy.
Yeah. And then we just did a swap over to a lake view, both of these in a one bedroom, because, I snore, turns out. And and my daughter has basically said, I would rather stay in a value if I get my own room than to stay, you know, in a deluxe or in a
holy cow, you're a chainsaw, Chris. Then you snore like a chainsaw, don't
studio.
You?
Apparently I do.
Okay.
That's what I'm told. So, and I won't throw anybody else under the bus about their snoring, right? So... I'll just say, yeah, apparently I do.
Well, hang on. I'm going to pause you. I'm going to throw somebody in their bus. Peter Panacorvo snores like a chainsaw as well, and I found that out firsthand in our trip down there, Stacy. Oh, good heavens, does Pete snore. So anyways, back to you, Chris.
Yeah, so that makes for long nights for people who are tired. So the one bedroom is what we got. And, we went down on that Sunday the 16th, and this was not a trip about hitting every attraction. Mm-hmm. It was really a trip about, well, first of all, distraction, and second of all, just experiencing Christmas, our first Christmas at Disney.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's really the highlight of the trip for me, is just experiencing all the decoration and all the activity.
Yes.
And just that, I don't know, there's a certain excitement in the air, I think not just with the, the decorations, but just the way everybody is feeling. It's pretty festive, and really special.
So did you go crazy with fast passes, Chris, and ADRs, or not necessarily?
Yeah, well, we had our fast passes, and there were a couple days where we had real fast pass strategies. But for the most part, you know, well, Epcot. So Epcot's our favorite resort, our favorite park. Mm-hmm. But we don't necessarily need to spend our entire day in Future World running around and doing all of the running from attraction to attraction. We've got to do Soarin'. That's just a thing. We have to do Soarin', and we have to do Spaceship Earth. As those are our must-dos. And then after that, you know, it might be Living with the Land, or maybe not. Maybe we'll go over to Journey into Imagination with Figment. Some of the others, I'm looking forward to what comes in the future with the Guardians of the Galaxy going in. But really, we just enjoy being there. The architecture of Future World is awesome. And then just that whole experience of World Showcase, we just love it. And, you know, people will say, well, my kids don't love World Showcase. My kids don't really like Epcot that much. Well, we took our kids. Our youngest daughter was 2, and our oldest daughter was 5 and a half, I think, their first trip. And we went to Epcot first, and they loved it. Mm-hmm. They loved it. And they didn't have anything to compare it to on that day. And so Epcot was so cool. And then when they went to the Magic Kingdom was also so cool. Mm. But they appreciated both of them individually because they saw Epcot first, and they had that opportunity. Where if they would have seen the Magic Kingdom first, we think they would have been like, well, where are the characters, or where is the, you know, this ride or that ride? And it's still their favorite park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think my kids are the same. They we didn't use that strategy. I think when we first went down, I think that we did Magic Kingdom first. But they love Epcot. And I think that for at least 3 of them, it's their favorite park. And, you know, the 3 older ones are 11, 13, and 15. And they've always loved Epcot. So if anybody out there is considering skipping it for their younger kids, you know, think twice about it, because it's a great experience. I think that it just kind of is whatever attitude you go into it. And some kids might not like it. You just kind of have to go with, you know, what you feel your kids would enjoy. But it's definitely not something to discount.
Chris, right. That's a great point, too, because when you think about Hollywood Studios, unless you've got an itinerary full of fast passes and your attractions picked, like a day at Hollywood Studios, and there are people that love the studios, but, you know, you feel like unless you're really killing it with attractions, it's not going to be a successful day. But you're right, there's something just being in Epcot, you know, and just kind of walking, and even if your day was entirely of Spaceship Earth and Living with the Land and in Nemo, where you literally did no fast passes and just walking, that's a great day. That's like the day that you wish for the other 300 plus days of the year, for that day just to be at Epcot.
Absolutely.
All right,
you got it. Yeah, so that's where we are with Epcot. I don't really remember what we were talking about.
No problem.
Guide me along, Chris.
So you're at Bay Lake Tower, right? And you're just enjoying the Christmas. I sidetracked you by saying how many fast passes and whatnot. So what was your first day, or tell me about your first memorable experience?
Well, we started out with just a trip over to Epcot before we could check into our room, because we were in Orlando. We were on the way to Epcot by 1 o'clock. The memorable experience. I think we can go on and move into maybe the evening. Yeah, when we came back, because we don't go hard.
Okay.
We take our time and try to enjoy things. And that's just the way my family is. I mean, we'll try to really take it in. And so that's the other thing that I always say is, don't go down there with an agenda. Whether it's your first time or your 100th, don't go down there with an agenda to try to do everything, right?
Ooh, I like Chris. I like him a lot. This is
try to take it at a pace that you can. Maybe you'll be back, maybe you won't.
Yeah.
But enjoy the time you have there.
Yes.
So it was a relaxing time around Epcot. We got back to our room just in time. Oh, so that evening, actually, we ate at Beer Garden.
Okay.
And so that was our first memorable experience, was first time we'd eaten at Beer Garden. And so it was the three of us. We were seated at a table with, I think, eight people. And so this couple next to us, they came over, and gosh, they were on their like third or fourth trip of the year to Walt Disney World, which, well, we've been on quite a few too, but they were coming from England.
Holy moly.
And you know, when you come from England, you don't spend a week. You might spend a week and a half or 2 weeks or three.
Right.
But this was like their third trip.
Wow.
And in fact, they had just been there in November, and the wife was surprised the husband with his 30th birthday trip back to Walt Disney World after they'd just been there a month before, and he was thrilled. So
we
talked with them and the other couple, and just talked about a lot of things, DVC and just how much we enjoy Disney. There was the other couple was, I think, like their second time or something, and you know, the rest of the table, we were these enthusiasts. And then we started talking, and it turned out that we were talking to a couple who I'd seen on YouTube.
Cool.
who have a YouTube show, and it's their channel is called Becky and Lloyd, and they really just share their travels, most of them to Disney World. And you know, it's a great podcast, and they're wonderful people. And so it ended up being, oh yeah, I recognize you.
That's so funny.
And it was very fun. And so, you know, we've spoken with them since then. And of course, we are a little more active in their in responding to their videos and things.
Yeah.
I think this Friday, their video that's coming out is going to include their review of the Beer Garden.
Oh, fun.
While we were there. So, cool. Yeah. So that was really
So that
fun.
Was the couple from England that has the YouTube channel. Oh, that's super cool.
Becky and Lloyd.
We will look that up.
Yeah. I'd recommend it. And, so then we got back to Bay Lake Tower, and we headed to our room, and we got there just in time to see the fireworks at the Magic Kingdom at 10 o'clock.
Perfect.
And it was a little stressful because we had not been into the room until that moment. And we got there, and the fireworks started going off, and we said, we know that you're supposed to be able to hear the audio, but we don't know how. And there was no speakers on the, you know, on the balcony. And what's the deal? So we turned on the TV, and I started flipping channels. And I eventually determined I wasn't going to be able to find it in time. And so I called the front desk, and they gave me the channel number that I needed to get to. We cranked the TV, opened up the door. It was cold. It's December.
Uh-huh.
Opened up the door. And so we've got the sliding door all the way open, and we're all standing out on the deck. And it was awesome. I mean, it felt like these were the first two nights, so we were in that theme park view, and it felt like you could reach out and touch Space Mountain. It felt like you could reach out and touch the castle. So we watched the show. We saw the what's it called, the water electric water pageant or mm-hmm. whatever, the water pageant, so you could see that going by. Not as good of a view of that, but you know, so that was fun too. And it was a tremendous night, and just really like a big warm welcome home, right?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
what an experience.
That's perfect.
Do you remember the channel number, Chris, for the fireworks show?
You know what? I was thinking about that earlier because I thought that would be really handy. And I'm going to say 10, but I'm afraid that I might be remembering incorrectly.
Just call the front desk.
Just be sure you ask the front desk when yes. you check in or whatever. And you don't want to be stuck watching the fireworks and stressing about whether you should stay out on your balcony and watch the fireworks or go in and you know, use the hotel phone to try to
figure it out.
Wrangle somebody up. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, so that was our first night. We got back up, and I don't know. We could talk about a day by day, or I could just kind of hit on some things that were cool over the course of the week, and I might be better to tell you about that than
Honestly, I'm one of these, get all those highlights in there.
I'm one of these old guys, you know, I can't remember what I did yesterday, so it's hard for me to think back.
I think we're all in the same boat here.
You know, some things that I would say about Bay Lake Tower, though, would be like, in addition to that view of the fireworks and the view of the park in general, it seemed like it was a really big room. I mean, really a nice size room. I don't know whether it was just laid out differently than some of the others. And certainly we've, you know, stayed in some places that have big rooms. Grand Floridian has a giant room, giant rooms, Old Key West, but it felt great. And it was also awesome that it's a one bedroom DVC unit, but it has two full baths. Mm-hmm. So, really loved that. I would say it was nicer than we expected to be able to walk to the Magic Kingdom. You know, that was great, especially in the evening when the crowds are leaving the park and everybody's going one way to get to the monorails or the boats, and you veer off to the left, and next thing you know, you're kind of in a quiet area. It's just a quiet, gentle walk with not, you know, 100 people trying to run over you to get somewhere. So,
right.
Stacey, really, as Chris walks by and goes, as he points his
Exactly. And then the monorail access felt a little different than the feeling I get at the Grand Floridian. I feel like the whole time that I'm at the Grand Floridian, if I'm getting on the monorail, I feel like I'm still at the Grand Floridian. And when I was heading to get the monorail, I don't think it had to do with the fact that we had to move from the Bay Lake Tower over to the main, you know, building at the Contemporary, but it felt a little more transit, like turnstiles. You had to go through the baggage check, and then they'd send you up an escalator, and then there's somebody saying, go here, do this.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, you know, yeah, it just felt a lot less, it felt a lot less Disney, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Than the Grand Floridian.
I never thought about that, but it makes sense, yeah. Chris. I agree with you now. I never thought about that, but for sure, there is.
Well, and I'm not really a complainer, so like that does not taint my experience.
No, but
right?
It makes sense. Yeah,
you know,
right.
But it's just like a comment because we're lucky that the three of us are able to spend time talking about something as, you know, whether it was a good day or a bad day. It was a day at Walt Disney World.
It's a good day.
Exactly.
It's a good day. Yeah.
It's a good day.
Yeah.
And we actually only ate once at the Contemporary this trip. And it was just at that, I don't know, it's a food court. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what it is.
Contempo Cafe.
Contempo Cafe. Mm-hmm. And it was fine. But, you know, that was, the thing that I found interesting, and maybe if you... Maybe you get lucky, maybe you request a certain view, but the lake view rooms were quite a few points less than the theme park view. And for us anyway, the difference was, I think both of them, we were high floors, fairly high floors, like 11th, 9th floor. But with the theme park view, you looked straight out your window and there was Space Mountain and the castle. With the lake view, you had to walk a little closer to your window and then turn a little bit to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And it was like, I could have taken this view. It would have been fine.
Wow.
I could have taken this view both times and maybe stretched my trip by another night or something like that. So, yeah, I thought that was either way, you just
good
felt
tip.
Like you were right there.
Yeah, good tip.
So we spent most of our time between Epcot and the Magic Kingdom, and we spent most of like one day in Animal Kingdom, and then we spent a part of a super wet, drenched day at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And so this particular trip, again, we were looking for Christmas experience.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Festival of the Holidays at Epcot,
mm-hmm.
and then the just that whole experience of being in on Main Street, we were really wanting to kind of focus there. I'll say one disappointment that I had nothing to do with anything that was under Disney's control, but that day that we were going to spend at Hollywood Studios. It was pouring. I'm not talking about, it was pouring, and it was cold. So pouring and cold, and we had a couple fast passes, and these were, you know, my daughter's not like, I have to ride these, but it was Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. Mm-hmm. And so we just forced our way through, basically opened the park, got in there, did that. We couldn't look at, up at any of the Christmas decorations, because if you look up, you drown.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's hard.
And we'd heard, though, that they had some of the best Christmas decorations at Hollywood Studios. We just didn't see them.
Yeah.
So we'll mark that down, and we'll figure that out at some future time.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so instead of talking about kind of the downsides, some of the great things that we experienced, we really enjoyed the Festival of the Holidays at Epcot.
Okay.
It's not like the biggest festival in terms of maybe all the different things they do or all the different food options they have. At least it wasn't for us. We didn't find that to be the case, but the storytellers around World Showcase, all kind of talking about Christmas traditions in their own countries. Maybe some people would say, well, that's just a nice little add-on. It was almost like we saw it as a not-to-be-missed kind of thing after we started. So we started actually planning some of our time around when are the storytellers going to be doing that. It was there was a witch in Italy. She was a great performer, I would say, and she had a story that allowed her to be that. The Santa in England, and he led a bunch of, you know, he led us in a bunch of carols, Christmas carols, and it was really a lot of fun. I never figured out there was like a rock band in Germany, and they'd stop and they'd talk about their grandma who played in a rock band and the kind of Christmas songs she would play. It seemed like they were just making a story, you know, just trying, kind of making up a story to make it Christmas related. I don't know. So that was a little weird. The Festival of Holiday food booths were strong. Not like we saw maybe during the Festival of the Arts or the fall Food and Wine Festival. But there were some excellent things there. The Maple Bûche de Noël in Canada, it's just a maple mousse rolled in this.
You hit us at maple, Chris. You don't got to worry. You hit us at maple as soon as you said that.
Cranberry sauce and a pecan crumble on it.
It's, oh, my goodness.
Rolled up and like in a chiffon cake. It's great. So, it wasn't about like specific things for us this trip. It was about that general feel. And
yeah.
So we were like, yeah, the food's nice. And so another thing that we did while we were at Epcot was we stopped at this location between Germany and the outpost where there was a German man who was doing hand-blown ornaments.
Nice.
And so we got each of the members of our family a hand-blown ornament. We actually had him do one hand-blown ornament while for us there, and then we got three of the other ones that he had done previously. But it was interesting because he's a great man, was a lot of fun to talk to. He happens to live in St. Louis, Missouri, so he's actually our neighbor across the state.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
But he goes down there every year and spends a month basically blowing ornaments. And then when he goes back to St. Louis, he does sophisticated glass art.
Wow.
That's a pretty good gig.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
I guess so. Right. So I'd be if I could for a month
in December.
No doubt. All right, so you're at Epcot. It's around Christmas, so you must have attended a candlelight processional. Is this true?
We did.
Okay.
And that was one of the things that we wanted to be sure we did when we made that first trip, our first Christmas trip. But it turns out that we had something kind of special come about during that trip. So being a kind of lover of all things Disney World, right? I'm on eBay, I think about probably four years ago, when I see this little collection of CDs that's available. And it's the one, you know, that has the, oh my gosh, what else does it have? Illuminations CD is in there, and there's maybe, I don't remember what else. But along with that, they also had then, whoever was selling it, was selling a Candlelight Processional CD. I was like, cool, so I buy it. So it comes in, I open it up, I look at the front, it's unopened, and it says something like, conducted by John Sinclair. Well, John Sinclair? Well, it can't be the John Sinclair I know, who was the voice instructor at the high school here in Sedalia, Missouri, when I was in high school. So that would have been 30, a while ago. Yeah, almost 40 years ago.
Okay.
Well, it is. That's him.
Holy cow.
Wow. That is so cool.
Right. So now he's down at, at a college in the Orlando area. And for the last, I don't know how many years, he's been one of the primary conductors of the Candlelight Processional. Well, I reach out to him, and this was back several years ago, and so we kind of struck up a conversation. And, you know, the thing is, he and I only crossed paths for 1 year. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a vocal student. I was a pianist. And he heard me playing. He said, hey, we need somebody to play for the choirs. Will you come in and play for me in your sophomore year? And I said, well, yeah. And then I got there on that August or September day, and they had already hired an adult pianist.
Okay. Oh.
And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? And he said, well, just be quiet and sing. You know, sit down and sing. And so I did. And there's some stories behind that, but it involves a young, rambunctious kid, me, getting frustrated with him and staying after class at the end of the year and slinging a chair across the room at him, a la Bobby Knight.
Oh my gosh.
Tough guy.
He almost had me expelled or suspended, I guess. But he decided not to. And of course, the moment that I let go of that chair, I knew that I was way wrong.
Oh man.
So when he sang to me, let's see now, Chris. Remind me, what class were you in? And I said, well, yeah.
I tried to kill you.
Remember me as well as you remember the chair that I threw at you.
Oh, yes, you were memorable, I'm sure.
So we had a laugh about that. And then we said we'd get together sometime and, you know, have dinner sometime when we're there. Well, I told him we were going to go down and I was going to be there for the Candlelight Processional. And he said, well, great. When are you going to be there? And I told him, and he said, I'm directing that night.
Oh.
He's directed like 1,000 of these nearly
now. Wow, yes. Okay.
And he said, let me know what time you'll be there. Well, we had already purchased the that Candlelight Processional dinner package,
mm-hmm.
Which now I wish we wouldn't have, because he said, let me know what time you'll be there. He said, I'll meet you at the fountain there in front of the American Pavilion. And I'll bring you down to some VIP seating.
Nice.
And so here's all these people that are lined up waiting for their guaranteed seating, but they're lined up around, you know, both sides of that concert hall, I guess.
Yes.
And we just go walking up there at 6:45 and stand at the water fountain, the fountain there for a bit. And here comes Dr. Sinclair up.
Wow.
And of course he's like a rock star to these people, so there's a lot of them that know him, and they come up and they're telling him how much they love the passion.
Yes.
That he put into it. And so it's very hard for him to even make his way over to us, but we talk, and he was very gracious and warm, and so he escorted us down to this seating, and get, you know, we had like our choice of seat in the front 20 rows or whatever, and sat down, and the thing that was the most moving to me, you got to understand that while I didn't necessarily always get along with him, he's the guy that introduced me to singing, and now I do things like, you know, I've multiple times I've our we have a symphony here in the city that I'm in, and the symphony works with a choral group and puts on the Messiah every Christmas. And so I've sung not just the Messiah, but sung solos in the Messiah. You know, he really introduced me to that.
That's amazing.
So, you know, during the performance, he turned around, and as he's leading the audience in some of the carols, he made a point to look at me and direct me again.
After oh my goodness.
And I get a little chills just talking about it. It was very meaningful and emotional, and I had a hard time just even getting out those simple those simple Christmas carols, because
I can imagine.
Hooked me up. So that might have been, you know, for me personally, I don't know about the entire family, but for me personally, that probably was like the highlight of my trip, right?
Heck yeah. Yes. That's like one of the greatest stories I've heard. You know, that's so wonderful. Cool.
Yeah. So that was great. Of course, we were over there and we got to see the Voices of Liberty too. And
yes.
That also marked your second time, Chris. Were you able to walk by people with the commoners and laugh at them as you got escorted? Exactly. That's the second time this trip.
Who was the narrator for that?
Gary Sinise.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And it was like just 3 or 4 days after there'd been the story about how he had how he'd paid for trips for some of the children of the Gold Star families, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was tremendous.
What a great night!
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. All right,
we ate at Chefs de France, and you know what? It was okay. I mean, and we're not like we're not food snobs. And maybe that's the reason it was just okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, I think sometimes when I'm thinking about my enjoyment versus the value, it's like, I mean, I had duck and I love duck, but it was more expensive duck than I have when I'm at Sanaa,
mm-hmm.
or when I'm at the Brown Derby. That's my favorite duck.
Mm.
It's like they've got something called, I think, duck three ways or duck four ways or something. And, you know, anyway, so it was nice. But I would say the whole trip, there was nothing that we all really agreed on that was like, wow, this was really an outstanding meal. But we were never upset either.
Okay.
That's nice. Good. Yeah. Okay. That works out.
Yeah.
So give us some more highlights. Give us a couple more before we.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we spent our first Christmas with a Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So here, after 15 or 20 trips or whatever, is the time that we felt like newbies. And, you know, we made all the newbie mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
The thing was, we didn't want to see the Christmas party before we experienced it. So, yes, there's all kinds of stuff out there on YouTube, and I just didn't want to know too much about it because I wanted it to be magical. And now that we've done that and we've done a kind of poor job of kind of navigating that, maybe we'll know a little more and I'll feel a little more comfortable with doing more research. We didn't do the things that they tell you not to, like they say, don't go on too many attractions. We didn't do that, but somehow or other, it just didn't feel like we optimized our time.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But beyond that, the parade, the fireworks were great. It was nice to see those and have a change from what they're doing on regular nights. And the parade was long and awesome. But we were right there at the hub, and about maybe two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the parade, there was a float that broke down.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so for like 20 minutes, we could see Pluto in the distance, and he was on a float that just wasn't moving, and he just kept waving and dancing. But
poor guy.
But he wasn't moving.
Yeah.
And after some amount of time, like 20 minutes or so, they moved that off to the side a little bit and finished the parade, but it kind of bypassed us at that point. We didn't have any of it coming next to us. But nonetheless, the Very Merry Christmas Party, I don't know if I'd do it every time that I'm there.
That was my question. Is it a must-do at this point, Chris, around Christmas time for you?
So I think we've done it once poorly, I think I might do it again and try to do it well.
Okay.
And do it along with our other daughter when she's back.
Gotcha.
And then I think we can say, okay, we've done it.
We've done enough.
Yeah, we're done with that. But it was good. It was good. What I really liked was, I don't know if they call it Streetmosphere everywhere or if that's only at Hollywood Studios. In my head, it's like maybe that's just Hollywood Studios. But we really enjoyed the amount of street performers that we saw throughout the parks, and especially at Magic Kingdom. So have you seen the Philharmonic, the Main Street Philharmonic, that like maybe 15 or 20 piece kind of a Dixieland band that wears the like marching band uniforms? I think they're like a white marching band uniform with this red kind of a chest to it, and they've got their hats on. It looked like something straight out of like the Music Man or something. And they did a great Christmas show, and it was, I want to say, almost a half an hour long, and they were just,
wow,
whoa.
Yeah, I mean, you just wandered across them and here they were. And we also saw the Dapper Dans, and they were doing the Christmas show. We felt like we just kept hitting things. It was really cool.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second. This was at the Christmas party, but you know what?
That wasn't at the Christmas party. Those weren't even at the Christmas party. Those were just like experiences during the day.
Even better, because what I wanted to say was when people get all fast pass crazy and they have their touring plans, their itinerary, they're so focused on going from attraction to attraction and reservation to attraction and then dining that sometimes they miss these things. And you know what? I'm not saying that to not, I mean, like the way I tour, that's where you pick these things up. You just stumble across these things and you think to yourself, I would have never saw that. So we had, in Disneyland, we had an amazing ride on one of the transportation vehicles, and the girl's name is Erin. And I remember her just narrating this 14 minutes of this unbelievable Disney history that I would have never caught if we decided, let's just go on this, just on this vehicle. It was the fire engine. Let's just go on the fire engine. And it was like, that's the memory we retained. So don't get crazy with those fast passes and touring plans. Let the park take you someplace. And ends up being great.
You have to be willing to stop.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people stop and they'll spend like 20 seconds or 30 seconds with something. And then they'll be like, okay, well, I've marked that off my list. We got to move.
Right.
But, you know, spend some time and enjoy it.
Yeah.
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 So same thing happened at Animal Kingdom. We ran into Divine.
Oh, I've never seen her in person.
Oh, so cool.
It's hard to see.
Yeah.
You might have walked right by
her. Maybe. I guess so.
But that was the second or third time we've seen her. But, we didn't. She was kind of, I don't know, slinking off to maybe end her gig as we saw her. But, yeah, that was really neat, too. Things like the parrot show, not the up show, not that bird show, but there's a parrot show.
Mm-hmm. Right in front of the Tree of Life, right?
Yes. And mm-hmm. That was really good.
That's really cool.
We hadn't stopped for that either. There was a lady who was singing and playing this African instrument. I think it was in Harambe Village, and the name of the instrument was a kora. I went up and asked her, K-O-R-A. And it's just like this. If you take a guitar, and instead of strumming it and holding the neck out to the side, you hold the neck out in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's extended out in front, and then she was, I don't know how she was playing it. It was just beautiful, and it was kind of haunting, but in a good way.
Wow.
And then she would sing along with it, but it was like, you know, most of the time somebody plays a guitar and they sing, and the voice, the guitar accompanies the voice, and it was more like her voice was accompanying the guitar or the kora.
That's cool.
Wow.
It was really it was cool. So yeah.
I'm literally writing notes right there. I want to hear what that sounds like. K-O-R-A.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, very good.
Exactly. And we did resort hopping. We had a day in it, like we split it up, so we hopped one day and went to Contemporary and Polynesian and Grand Floridian, and another day, the day that we left, we went to Wilderness Lodge and Beach Club and Boardwalk, and we just checked out Christmas decorations.
I was hoping you would do that. If you want to experience Christmas time, I was hoping you would do that. Great.
We did that along with the Christmas Tree Trail, I think that's what they call it, mm-hmm. at Disney Springs.
Right. Yeah.
So here's what I'm going to say. Like, the Contemporary, honestly, they have a they have a gingerbread house that's made up at Christmas, and not a lot of decor, I would say. Maybe it's just because it's that contemporary style. We loved the Polynesian, had some of our favorite trees. We were taking pictures in front of the big tree there when a Hawaiian lady who's a cast member came up, struck up a conversation, told us a bunch of Hawaiian Christmas traditions, offered to take our picture. We got our picture with her. That was a lot of fun. The Grand Floridian is beautiful. You know, it's big and elegant and basically everything you imagine when you think about a Victorian Christmas card. That's it.
Now, Chris, where when you were at the Poly, did you what was the age of the woman? What would you speculate?
Probably in her. I'm a bad judge of age because I always think everybody's about my age, but now I'm like 30 years older than all those people that I think is about my age. She might have been like in her 50s.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. It wasn't Aunt Cowie then. 40s. Okay. Very good.
I'm sorry.
There's a woman there named Aunt Cowie. And she's it wasn't her. She's probably in her late 70s, maybe early 80s, but she's still stationed at the Polynesian. And as a Disney nut, you have to go and track her down. So right when you walk in, you make a left-hand turn, and she's over just making flower lace.
So I did see a lady that was making the flower lace.
Yes.
So that was probably her.
She's a legend. She's not an official Disney legend, but she is a Disney legend. Her story is in the back by Trader Sam's and by Captain Cook's, as she was brought over and to teach the dancers how to dance the hula and how to dance Hawaiian, and she's been there ever since. And so
go ahead.
Go ahead. I talked about it before.
You were talking about not an official Disney legend, but a legend nonetheless. Do you remember Art, the greeter at the beach club?
Yes. Yes.
So I actually created a Facebook page for him back in probably 2008 or something, just like right after Facebook. So, and there's not been much traffic on it, but this was right around the time he retired. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he had like 1,500 followers, and they were all sharing pictures of Art.
Oh, that's amazing.
And when he retired, you know, we made sure he found out about the page, and still people wish him happy birthday all the time, you know, and he only comes on there about once every year or something, but
that's Disney magic. Yeah, and even it's provided by you. Great.
Hey, there we go. And then so it's fun to stop and talk to these people though, because they're so knowledgeable. I don't care whether it's the cast member at the, you know, check-in desk or the guy that's waiting to help you get on the monorail or maybe somebody in a minivan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
They've got a lot to talk about if you're willing to. Here's my question, and I think somebody mentioned, no, maybe not. Did you all mention the Wilderness Lodge when you were talking about your favorites? No, it was Animal Kingdom Lodge, wasn't it?
Yes, Stacey. But the Wilderness Lodge is always right around there for all of us.
Except for me.
Uh-oh, because the tree is immense and the tree's gorgeous there.
So between the Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge, I would say those are our two least favorite resorts.
Boom. Why? Tell me.
Okay, I'm trying to figure it out. But so I'll tell you, we specifically went to the Wilderness Lodge because everybody said, you've got to check out their Christmas. It's the most gorgeous. It's the place. And we got there, and it was like, there's a big tree. Yep, there it is. Big tree. And there's definitely some animals' heads on the wall. I don't know whether it's because there's a place nearby us down in southern Missouri that's called Big Cedar. And they've got, like, you know, it kind of looks a little bit like the log cabin kind of a look with a big art, you know, big high ceiling.
Okay.
And they've got all of that, and they've got all the animals' heads on the wall. But it just felt like, well, that's a big tree.
Yeah, makes sense.
And we literally looked at it for a couple minutes, and then I walked over to a cast member, and I said, so where's the rest of the Christmas decorations? Is it there somewhere other than the lobby, right? Because people are talking about these Christmas decorations. And then I looked at her, and she was kind of just staring back at me silently, and I said... Or is this it? And she said, yeah, this is it. And we said, okay. And we headed out and we went to Geyser Point and had lunch, and I had a bison cheeseburger that was great. But it was Geyser Point that really like saved that for us.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we stayed half of our previous trip at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and we had a savanna view, and it was like, yeah, I guess maybe it's just because we don't spend enough time at the resort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, uh-huh. Like, I feel like I walked almost halfway back to Missouri from the time that I would get off of, you know, the transportation to the time we got to our room was like a, I don't know, 10-minute walk. I couldn't believe I hadn't gone all the way around in a circle, but I hadn't.
Wow.
It just wasn't that. So, yeah.
I love hearing that, though. You know, no matter what, you're not wrong. I mean, I love hearing that. That's a great opinion.
Yep.
So then we got back and we, you know, fire up YouTube. And the first thing we hear is, oh, my gosh, you should have checked out the not the beach club, but the yacht club. They were like, the yacht club has the best Christmas decoration. Well, that's the one place we didn't go. Right? So, but yeah, it was the resort hopping was good.
Yeah, I think it gives you a reason to go back. So
the other thing, I think is, I'm not sure I could justify resort hopping if I didn't have an annual pass.
Yeah,
like it's just really tough. It's really tough for us to pull ourselves out of the parks, even for I don't really know. I've kind of lost myself in terms of where I'm going with this, but the point is that we probably wouldn't have taken that time to do that had mm-hmm. we not had the annual pass. And that really gives you a little more room to do some exploring. And that was really nice in this year, not just this trip, but that was just really nice in this year that we had that opportunity to do that. And
okay.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. It does. It takes a little bit of... it takes longer than you think it's going to take to tour the resorts. But if you're going down for something as special as a holiday trip, it's really worth it to carve that time out. Even if you're just taking, you know, maybe a little chunk of each day to go see at least some of the resorts, it's definitely worth it to do that.
Exactly.
Chris, in wrapping this up, would the highlight of the trip for you at least be time with the family combined with John Sinclair, or what was the absolute highlight? What is the one memory you take away?
If you exclude the fact that I was that guy in Monsters, Inc.'s lap
tour, man, that's amazing.
If you exclude that I got the sticker for that and that it will forever be in my, you know, collection. I think that's it exactly. It was time with our family. With Caroline, who's, you know, 1 year away from graduating from college, which means we're not going to have the same experience with her probably ever again, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
She's going to be someone with a career, hopefully, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her own life, and she will, I am certain, always be willing to make time for a Disney World vacation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll always be able to get our kids to come visit us as long as we're willing to meet them in Florida. But it was just that relaxation in that time. And then, of course, as you say, just kind of reconnecting with somebody from my past who, you know, was key to me becoming a singer, not professionally. I didn't end up going that path, but, And then, as it turns out, he's got this strong Disney connection that makes it extra special.
Yeah, that's super special.
And so we came back, and I said, I've got a year or a year and a half wait before the next trip.
Oh, man.
How am I going to handle that?
Yeah.
And on January the 2nd was my first day back at work for like 2.5-3 weeks. It was crazy. January the 2nd. My boss says, so there's a conference in Anaheim on April the 14th. So as it is, I'm going down a couple of days early or going flying out a couple of days early. And I'm going to have a couple of days with my first trip ever to Disneyland. It's going to be by
amazing.
Myself.
Oh, amazing.
Okay. It'll be by myself, but we've just said that it'll be a scouting trip, right?
Yeah, take one for the team there, yeah.
I will. I'm going to do my best.
Wow, that's awesome. Chris, if anybody wants to ask you any questions on your trip, how could they get in contact with you? What's the best way?
They can connect to with me on Facebook. I'll take anybody that's if you're a Walt Disney World fan, you're a friend of mine. And you can find me. I think you can search for Chris Young, but there's about a million Chris Youngs. I think that you can also search for DV Chris, DVCHRIS. And so you can also find me on Twitter with that same handle, DVCHRIS.
Cool.
Reach out that way.
You're also part of the EDCOT community. You found your way to us too, so you're in that group. You're in that group as well. So by all means, you can't get a hold of Chris, you can track him down there.
I'd love to talk some Disney.
Yeah. So I do have one question before we go. Okay. So is the Disney nut in the family? Is it you? Or is it your wife? What is the share of that? Because I always try to assess that as far as that goes.
It was me.
Okay.
So we went on our honeymoon to Disney World in 91.
Okay.
And she really didn't have any interest because it seemed like too many people and too much commotion. And I said, just trust me on this. And so we went and we had a great time. And but now if you look around our house, you know, there's something Disney in about every room.
And okay.
In some rooms, it's a little less obvious, and in some rooms, it's really obvious. And I came home probably about this time last year, and I was walked down the hall to our bedroom, and as I came back, I looked up, and there was a red hidden Mickey on our ceiling that my wife had placed there.
Oh, man.
So that's just amazing. Up in the corner. You can't see it from the entryway to the house, but you can. There's this hidden Mickey, and nobody knows it's there but us. And you know, so. But now, who's listening to the podcasts, and who's saying, "Okay, family, we have to talk about the plans"? It's me. It's me. I'll own it. Like I say.
Really cool. Really cool. Stacy, anything left for Chris?
I don't think so. Just thank you so much for sharing and for bringing some Disney into our day.
Just the thought of being able to prepare for this and think back on the trip was great. So
good.
It's a pleasure. It was a treat for me.
Well, thank you. Thank you as well, Chris. So if you have any questions for Chris, you search him on Facebook or on Twitter or on EDCOT. If you have any questions for Stacy, myself, or Peter on EDCOT or on the WW Review Facebook page. And so for my buddy Chris, for my buddy Stacy, we'd like to thank you and have a great day.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.